ELC Radio.
Alrighty, guys.
Kingsman, April 12th, 7 p.m., G Street offices. Be there.
Don't be a square.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
For what's said in this word, by humility and fear are the riches and the honor in life. And that's why I gotta stand firm, stand tall. And with the devil, be prepared to brawl, because he's coming with the full force. But the power of my God gonna rise in my time of need. When I plan to see, he gonna beg and plead, because he don't know that he's dealing with a new breed. And I've been going through so much in my life for so long. I done been through some things, I done been through it all. And I feel I'ma fall, I just try not to stumble, because he gave me the wisdom. So I gotta stay humble. Many times in my life I feel the pain and the stress. I just give it my best, because I know it's a test. And I keep holding on, because the Lord, he set me free. And he said that he'll exalt me if I show humility.
We're going to take some time to talk about this series called The Child Within. And, you know, in all my years, almost 27 years now of serving God and being in ministry and helping people all over the world, one of the things that I find out is even in specifically in dealing with adults, many of us that are dealing with addictions, are dealing with pain, are dealing with issues in our life, it stems from something that happened in childhood. And yet we got to understand how important childhood is. Parents, if you have little ones, do everything you can to protect their innocence in childhood. Because there's something about childhood and being a child that Jesus equates to the kingdom. And in this scripture in Matthew chapter 18, it's a very interesting scripture, because here the disciples are and they're gathering with Jesus, and it's just like humanity. And before we judge these guys, you'd probably do the same thing. They're gathering with Jesus, and they're basically saying, yo, Jesus, who's the greatest of us? Who's the greatest one in the kingdom? And I don't know who asked that question. Might have been Peter, you know. Might have been John, because he was, you know, they always thought John was the kiss up because he was the one that Jesus loved. And so they had this question, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And y'all need to know something about Jesus. He was gangsta. Someone's like, hey, he was a gangster? Where's that in the Bible? Just flow with me. What I mean by that is, man, he had a way of putting people in their place. He had a way of showing people sometimes how off you are. So the disciples are there, they're with Jesus, and they're like, hey, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Asking from a place of wanting to hear, well, it's you, because you do this, you do that, you sacrifice so much, you've left your fishing business, you left the tax industry, you're with me. They're wanting to hear something like that. Jesus says, oh, you want to know who's the greatest? He calls this little snotty-nosed kid over to him. That's the way I see it in my hood movies in my brain here. He calls this little, hey, Miguelito, come over here real quick. And this little boy comes over here, Moco's right here, you know what I'm saying. And he comes over, he goes, and he points to this child. He calls the child to him, and he sets him in the midst of them, and he says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become like little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Man, there's a lot of wealth in there. And I want you to not miss a Sunday in this series, because some of you have been missing out on the kingdom of God because you won't become like little children. And many times, it's not that we won't become like little children because we don't want to. It's many times we don't want to become children because of what childhood represents to us. Because let's face it, not all of us had good childhoods. Not all of us did. And many of us are running from our childhood into other things. So we're going to talk about some of those things later on in the series. But I want to talk to you today about what it means to be like a little child. Now, let's look at this scripture here in the Passion Translation. Go ahead and put that up right there. It says this, at that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, who is considered to be the greatest, and listen to this, in heaven's kingdom realm. So listen to this very closely then. So Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Okay, let me read that to you again. It says, unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. So the Passion Translation breaks it down a little more. Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And then the Passion Translation breaks it down and says, unless you become humble and teachable. I want you to write that down today. If I'm going to receive the kingdom, I've got to be humble and teachable. Humble and teachable. Everybody say that. Humble and teachable. One more time. Humble and teachable. One more time. Humble and teachable. Humble and teachable. Come on. Humble and teachable. Sorry. I had a club flashback right there. I don't know. Humble and teachable. Okay? That is what it takes, Jesus said, to enter into the kingdom of God. It doesn't say you need to be smart. Doesn't say you need to be strong. Doesn't say you need an education, although nothing's wrong with any of those things. The requirements of the kingdom is humility and a teachable spirit. Tell your neighbor, that's good. Tell your other neighbor, he's talking right at you, and point at him, right at you, right at you. So humility and teachableness is the recipe for greatness in the kingdom. Listen, you've got to catch this. Because they're not teaching this anywhere else except the church. And some churches ain't teaching this either. Because Jesus said, you have to have humility and be teachable to be great in the kingdom. But let me tell you something. To be great in the world, you don't need those things. To be great in the world, you don't have to be teachable and you don't have to be humble. And there's plenty of people out there that can prove that to you. Because they're successful. But there's no humility in them because they're what they would call self-made people. Listen, I'll tell you right now, run from anybody that says they're a self-made man. Run from them. Run from any woman that would just say, I'm a self-made woman. Because on the other side of that term is this word, selfish. On the other side of that word is idolatry. And when you read the Bible, anytime anybody did something unto themselves, it always brought about destruction. The Tower of Babel, these guys said, let us build a tower unto ourselves. Boom, God scattered that thing, said it ain't happening, baby. Anytime anybody, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, built his kingdom unto himself, he was stricken mad. He became a madman, wandering the woods on all fours. Why? Because that's what self produces. But you can be great in the world operating like that. And in many ways, in some cases, it actually takes that. That's why people say you got to sell your soul to make it in this industry. You got to sell out to do this and do that. But if you want to be great in the kingdom, and if you want to be a kingdom person, we don't operate by the world's ways. In the kingdoms. And look what Jesus says right here in that scripture there. He says, unless you dramatically change the way you're thinking. Because see, some of you guys are going, oh, okay, be humble and teachable. Okay, cool, I got it.
But if you could see what I see, you don't got it. Because in America, we've been deceived that learning is changing. And learning is not changing. Matter of fact, the Bible says there's a group of people out there that have deceived themselves that even though they hear, they never learn. Even though they learn, they never change. And so we don't want to be like that. So I want to preach this into your spirit, not just your head. Because some of you go, okay, I got it. Be humble, be teachable. Yeah, but then Jesus said it's going to take a drastic change of your thinking to achieve this. Tell your neighbor, it's going to be drastic. That means this, it's not just going to happen, baby. It's not just going to happen. Well, I'm a Christian now. Now I'm humble. Now I'm teachable. No. There's a lot of stuff we're going to have to sift through. And in 27 years of discipling people, that's something that is the hardest thing in trying to help another individual, is moving past the pride and this thing of not wanting anybody to tell me anything. And how many of y'all know? We all got it. Amen? We all got it. There's not a person here that loves to be told what to do. There's not a person here that likes to be told anything. Can I tell you something? That's a learned behavior. And you better learn it. You better learn it if you want to get married. Because your wife, come on somebody, is going to tell you to do some stuff. And all the wives said, but before you amen me down, ladies, if you got a real man, oh, come on, ha, I feel the Holy Ghost. My king's men are up here strong today. No, but seriously, though, it's my wife's like, simmer down now, simmer down. But on the other end, if you don't like anybody telling you what to do, ladies, you're going to have a problem if you married a real man. Because your real man is going to have to give you some instruction. Amen? If you don't like that, just don't get married. Do everybody a favor. Just stay by yourself. I mean, it's something we all got to learn, right? And this is why it's a learned behavior that you got to start teaching to your kids now. Whew, got real quiet in here. You got to teach that to them now, that for the rest of your life, you are going to have to intake instruction. Like it or not, it's coming, right? That's why I don't get these parents that just can't say no to their kids. You know, I don't get that. Can I take a little side road right here? I was talking to somebody before, and they're saying, oh, can you watch him? But whatever you do, don't tell him no. Why can't we tell him no? Oh, because he'll start crying. I'm like, so? But did you know that's a philosophy of parenting in some places? Do you know the first thing your child should learn, the first word, is no? Let him cry through it. It's all right. I'm not changing. Still no. Amen? I could hear some, oh, he's so mean. He's so mean. I pray for his children. But seriously, it's something that we have to learn, okay? It's okay. Let them cry. Go ahead. Go cry. But the answer is still no. Amen? And it gets hard to say no because I don't like to see my children cry. And I don't like to tell them no when I want to bless them. My heart is to let them have fun. I want them to have a good life. But when I'm at a place where I see something they don't see, I see some destruction, I want to go to that party, but I know what parties are like. Oh, come on, somebody. I know what can happen there. Come on, somebody, amen. I am faced with the decision. I got to tell him no. But then you know what I got to be able to, hopefully he's learned how to take a no. Anybody got a teenager that don't know how to take a no? Can I help the teenagers today? Here's how you don't take a no. Dang, can't do nothing. You don't know how to take a no. You ain't got to be happy about the no, but you don't disrespect in the no. ooh, this is going to change somebody's life right here. This is going to get you into college. This is going to get you a good woman that wants to marry you because you know how to take a no. You don't have to be happy about the no's, but we've got to learn to take the no. I got to learn it. I don't always like when my wife tells me no. Amen. I see you. Why is Pastor Tina telling him no? What's she telling him no about? What's your wife telling you no about? All right, let's get back into this thing. So it's a dramatic change. It's not an easy change. It's not a go to church once change. It's not an ask Jesus into my heart change. It is a dramatic change that you've got to learn the ways of the kingdom, and you got to learn how to be humble. You got to learn how to be teachable. You got to learn how to let somebody speak into your life. You got to learn it. My wife and I just this week had an opportunity to go, you know, we have to fly in to see our pastor. You know, we invest money to go see our pastor. Some of y'all got a pastor down the street, but you're afraid of me because you're afraid of what I might say. So you stay away. You could do that. That's fine. We're good. We're busy already anyway. So you don't. Anyways, but my point is this. My point is this. We invest to get counsel. We invest to get taught. And so we went up there and we spent the day with Pastor Charles and Jared and Shannon, and we sat there to be teachable. And, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to go after it. It's not just going to happen in you. You can't just walk away from here and go, oh, be humble and teachable. I got it. All right. Or here's what some of us do that are really proud. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know this already. If you even, that thought came, you're exactly who I'm talking to. Because you know it, but you don't know it. Amen? Because a truly humble person always knows they got to be more humble. A true teachable person understands they always need more. Somebody that's teachable can hear the same sermon over and over and over again because they realize I didn't get it all the first time. Do y'all know how many times I read certain books? I have about 3 books in my life that I read every year. So I go, well, why would you read it already? Yeah, but I didn't get it all. Because every time I pick it up, I can get something else out of it. Are you guys tracking with me? So it's a drastic change. I can't emphasize enough how much you got to go after humility and being teachable. Jesus said it's drastic. You got to have to fight there. You're going to have to fight to get to it, okay? But understand it's the recipe for greatness in the kingdom, but not the recipe for greatness in the world. That's why some of you work with people that you can't stand because they're full of pride. Some of you have employees that you wish you didn't hire them because every time you give them instruction, they argue with you. See? Some teenagers, oh, come on, help me, somebody, are in a place where mom and dad can't tell you nothing because you know it all in your 15 years. You figured it all out. See, that's a bad place to be. We've got to learn how to stay teachable and be humble because it's a recipe for greatness. Amen. Write that down. Now, Jesus said to be teachable and humble will take a drastic change in your thinking. That means this: it's not going to feel good right away. It's going to feel foreign. You're going to feel, some of you might even feel like a sucker. Not a sucker, a sucker. For showing humility and for being teachable. Because in the streets, you didn't listen to nobody and that's how you got by. It's true. That's how you got by. But you ain't in the streets no more. Hopefully. You're in the kingdom. And the kingdom works in a different way. Okay? So here's the thing. Many people fear that if they're humble and teachable, that they'll be taken advantage of or they'll be hurt. But Jesus understood that. And look what he says there in Matthew 18, 5 and 6 in the Passion Translation. He says, right after he says, whoever continually humbles himself to become like a gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. He then says this, And if you tenderly care for this little one on my behalf, you are tenderly caring for me. But if anyone abuses one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a heavy boulder tied around his neck and be hurled. This is the gangsta Jesus right here. Remember I was telling you about that? This is how Jesus is taking folks out in these days. He will tie a heavy boulder around your neck and be hurled into the deepest sea than to face the punishment he deserves. So Jesus is trying to give people that would say, well, I can't be like this. People would take advantage of me. People will do this. Jesus says, I got your back. And why does Jesus state this? Because he wants to take away every excuse you got from staying the way you are. Because he knows how we think. You know, I was talking to a guy. I was actually ministering to a dude in jail one time. And I was explaining to him, hey, man, you got to be careful in here. You know, even when the guards aren't looking, even when no one's around, you can't get caught up in the crookedness. He goes, oh, pastor, you don't know how it is in here. I can't do that. I said, you can do it. Because when you start acting and activating God's principles, that's how you get him to move on your behalf. I'll say that again. When you submit yourself to God's ways and his principles, that's when he works on your behalf. But he couldn't wrap his mind about, yeah, but you don't understand. Prison's different. It's different in here. You know, I gotta play by these rules. I tried to tell him, there's a higher chessboard. There's a higher chessboard. And in order to get God to work in your impossible situation, in your impossible condition, activate his promises and live by his ways, and he'll defend that. And it's the same way for you and I. Because some of us, we always got excuses. Well, you, pastor, it's, you don't know how it is at my job. You know, everybody backbites, and I got to do it like that. No, when you step out and submit your ways to God, he moves on your behalf. So while everybody else is climbing the corporate ladder, stabbing each other in the back, gossiping, doing dirt, and you stay faithful to God, honorable to the Lord, God will promote you. Because understand this, the kingdom is only advanced through God's promotion. You can't advance it, I can't advance it. But that is so different than in the world. Are you guys catching this today? So Jesus takes away the excuse and he says, hey, listen, this is how much I care for you. And you guys need to catch this now. Now, one level sees this scripture and they say, wow, Jesus really loves, hi, Jesse. Jesus really loves children, okay? And they say, wow, Jesus will fight for the children. But you know the little ones he's talking about in the scripture? It's you. That's how he sees you. You're his little one. You're his mijito. You're his mijita. You're his son. You're his daughter. He sees you like that. You're his little pumpkin. What else? What else do little kids call? You're his sweetheart. Amen? You're not his travieso. That's not how he views you. It got real quiet in here. Somebody got convicted. Don't call your kids that. Listen, he says this, if anyone abuses one of these little ones, you who believe in me, it'd be better for them to be thrown in the sea with a boulder around their neck. Jesus has given us a view of how much he cares for you, how much he'll fight for you. Amen? Amen? He's given you a view. So you know what that means? You don't have to worry about yourself. Submit to his ways and let him do his job. But here's the problem. People that have been hurt have a very difficult time doing this because the experience of pain causes them to stumble over the word of God. And they say things like this, well, where was God the last time I was hurt? Where was God when I was being abused as a child? Where was God at my last church when they were taking advantage of me and they didn't do this and they didn't do that? And all these questions begin to come up and they get us to live off of experience rather than the word of God. Now listen, I don't have answers for all those other questions. And I don't think any preacher has answers for everything that we've gone through. But I do know this. As bad as experiences are, the Bible never tells me to live off of my experiences. It tells me to live off of the Word of God. So even though that happened, I'm still going to believe His Word. Even though I prayed for my uncle who had cancer and he still died, I still choose to believe God heals cancer. Are you tracking with me? I could believe to go, no, my uncle never got healed, so God doesn't do that anymore. I could, and many of you do, but it's much better for me to hold to the word of the Lord. Amen. We're all going to be challenged in that area, but see, we can't let our experiences pull us away from God's word. Amen? This is why we do these things. We begin to trust in what we've been through. We begin to question the scriptures based on experience. Listen, we've got to trust the Lord. So what does Matthew 18 there? It speaks of God's protection over you and a warning. It also comes with a warning here to not take advantage of the people of God. Now, guys, that's a scary thing for a pastor, for a leader. And those of you that are leaders in the house, you got to understand God takes very serious how you treat people. Can I get an amen on that? Many of you have been to churches before where you have been spiritually abused or you were taken advantage of. Listen, I've been around ministries that have done that to people. It's a horrible thing. But what the scriptures have taught me is God don't play, especially with His kids. You've got to be careful when leading people. You've got to be careful. Listen, if God's called you to lead in any capacity, you got to take that stuff serious. Because Jesus is over here talking about throwing folks in lakes with rocks around their necks. Listen, He ain't playing. That's loving Jesus. He says it'd be better for that to happen to you than for me to punish you. You know what He was saying? What I would do to you is worse. He don't play when it comes to you and I. So let God defend you. You just obey His word. But if I do that, my boss is going to take advantage of me. He better not, because God will take care of that. Well, if I do that, you know, I don't want to be one of these guys that just does everything for the church and church just takes advantage of me and, you know, all this. Hey, they better not, because God gives us His word. He will defend you. 27 years I've been in the church, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've been taken advantage of. I've been robbed by people that were men and women of God. But you know why I keep going? Because I go, God, You saw that. I trust You'll take care of it. And I just keep going. Amen? I don't have to do that. I could be bitter. And then every time you come to church, I'm a mean preacher. Because I've been hurt and I've been taken advantage of. That's all that comes out on the mic. I don't want to be that. It's too much. So I say, God, they jacked me up. You see it. I trust You to take care of it. And I just keep going on. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's so much liberty in that. But you walk around all tight. What'd you say to me? You know, you're just on defense, walking around with balled up fists. You're ready to punch somebody in the face because you just on guard because somebody hurt you. Man, I feel sorry for your spouse. I really feel sorry for your kids. I really do. Listen, just give it over to the Lord. You have a promise. I'll defend you. I'll defend you. And He won't go to jail for it. Come on, somebody. Let me keep going. Let me get you out of here. So it says this. So God is going to protect you, okay? What does this talk about? It's a warning to leaders. It's a warning to pastors, leaders, bosses. Anybody that leads people, you better fear God, because who you're leading are God's children, His babies. Amen. And let's keep reading here. Look what it says here in verse 7 and 10. It says this. Misery. Oh, that's another good warning. Y'all got to catch this. This is for somebody here that you need to catch this. Misery will come to the one who lures people away into sin. Troubles and obstacles to your faith, they're inevitable. But great devastation will come to the one guilty of causing others to leave the path of righteousness. And then it says this, be careful that you don't corrupt one of these little ones. For I can assure you that in heaven, each of their angelic guardians have instant access to my heavenly Father. Can I just remind you, this is Jesus talking. Do you know what he's saying? Hear me now. He's saying this. If the lifestyle you live as a follower of Jesus leads people away from God rather than to him, I feel sorry for you. It says this, misery will come to you. It's coming. And can I tell you? I've seen it. See, we're real dramatic. We think misery means something dramatic's going to happen. Oh, you know, this catastrophe is going to happen. No, it's not like that. Misery comes in the form of you just ain't happy. Ever. In church, not happy. Married to a good man, miserable. Got a good job, can't enjoy it. Misery follows people that way. So can I put a little bit of fear of God in you? Tell your neighbor, the fear of God is good for you. It's good for you. It's good for you. If anybody here had a father that was a good father, come on. I feared my dad. I feared that cinto, amen? But you know what that did for me? Kept me from acting dumb. Well, not all the time, not all the time, not all the time. Some of the time. So a little bit of fear is good. A little bit of fear is good. So what is he saying here? Misery will come to the one who lures people away in sin. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you. So this is a problem we have in the American church. We're quick to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I love God. Posts and stuff that are inspirational. Posting little things on your Instagram, which keep doing it. That's good. At least you're doing that. But then, come Saturday night, and we see y'all, hey. A pole dancer in the back right there. That's the Holy Spirit's just revealing that. Sorry, I'm just flowing. See, we can laugh about it, and we know that's kind of jacked up. But can I just give you a scripture here? Anyone that lures people away into sin? So in every sheep pen, catch this now. There's always going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Always going to be some. There's going to be some that are there, and they're saying, it don't take all that. Yeah, I hear what pastor's saying, but you know, little of this ain't never hurt nobody. Little of that ain't never hurt nobody. It's all good. It's all grace. We under grace. But see, here's what you don't understand. People are watching you. People are watching you. And people are learning about God, not from me. They're learning from you. And if it's okay for you to do it, guess what they're learning? It's okay for me to do it. But Jesus says this, man, misery will come to the one who lures people away into sin. Troubles and obstacles will come to your faith, but great devastation will come to the one guilty of causing others to leave the path of righteousness. See, some of you say, oh, that's jacked up. I can't believe God would do that. Wait a minute. It would be jacked up if God had no involvement. Can you imagine if my little Selena, she's 5 years old, and somebody comes over to her and gives her crack? And I'm just like, oh, dude, why are you giving her crack, dude? That ain't right. They would take me away for doing nothing in response. But yet we got folks in the church, and you get a new believer starting to come to church, and they're coming to church, and they love, let me give you an example how this works. They love the church. Oh, man, I just love going to that church. And here your sour person here comes over, and here your miserable self comes, and they say, oh man, I just love coming to this church, and here you are, it ain't all that.
Just stick around a little bit. And they look at you, well, what do you mean? I'm just saying. I've been going here for a little while and nobody talks to me. So now this person who's all excited about his walk with God meets somebody that sows misery into their heart because they're miserable and they're hurting. And so now this person's coming into church. Instead of like a child going, God, I love being Christian, bless me, they're coming in now suspicious. Well, what did she mean by that? She's been serving God 4 years. She knows more than me. And so now they come into church and they're looking around, one eye open when they close their eyes. I come around, hey, how you doing? I'm good. Because they got misery sowed into them. Are y'all catching this? And so now that person that was on fire, ready to receive God, you just sowed some junk in their brownies. We used to say it like this. You just put poop in the brownies. It looks good. But there's not a person in here that would eat a poop-filled brownie. So this is what we do to the Christian life. It's supposed to be good, but because we got miserable people that won't be responsible with what God has given them, the life that you have, check this out, it ain't yours no more. So everything you do affects God's kids. And he don't like it when you lead people down a wrong path. He don't like it. He treats it as if you tried to give my Selena crack at the age of 5. Guess what I would have to do to you? I would have to do it to be a good father. Are you guys tracking with me? I'd have to catch a case to be a good dad. Now, let me remind you, I'm not saying here that God is going to strike you down. Because if he was going to do that, he'd have done that to some of you years ago. But what I am saying is the results of what you're doing is probably why you got misery in your life. Can I just tell you this? It ain't never going to leave until you change that behavior. Because you may post nice things on Instagram and Facebook. But you know what's sad is when people's Instagram life is better than their real one. I take a real life over an Instagram life any day. Oh, come on, somebody. Smiles on social media don't mean smiles in real life. Give me smiles in real life. Jesus is saying this, but not in the sense where God the Father is just gonna get you. What he's saying is you keep doing that, and the result of what you're sowing is gonna get you. Are you guys tracking? Because if it went unpunished, how is God a good, good father? Come on, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. And there's God just choking somebody out. Because he's messing with their kids. I know, I just messed that up in your head. I'm sorry. But listen, here's what I'm saying. I know God's grace satisfied. Jesus' blood satisfies the wrath of God. But listen, you got to take your walk serious. You got to. Because people are watching you. And what are they learning about God watching your Instagram? Watching your social media. Because you know what? It might be okay for you to do certain things, but man, what I do affects people coming in the house of God. But it ain't what I do. You know who has more influence than me? You. Because people know you. So we've got to take this stuff serious. Can y'all see? Highlight this in your Bible so you don't see I'm preaching heresy. I'm reading to you the words of Jesus Christ. I'm reading to you a prophetic warning to people that will mislead his children. That's what I'm reading to you. That's all I'm reading to you here. Because he don't play because he loves us so much. So when you take your Christianity lightly and you got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, listen, Jesus said it like this in the book of Revelation. I'd rather you be hot or cold. I'd rather you be hot or cold. Don't be playing games. Don't be lukewarm. Because he literally says it makes me vomit, makes me sick.
I'll spit you out if you're like that. So I realize hearing a message like this, some of you might have to make a decision you don't come back next week. I realize that. Some of you might be like, dang, I guess I'm out then. That's cool, be out. That's cool, be out. At least you won't damage anybody else by your lukewarm ways. Because you're doing more damage than good when you don't represent Christ. We don't want any more fake Christians, man. Listen, if you're going to do this, do it and watch the grace of Jesus Christ flood your life, flood your kids' life. You watch what God will do. He will blow your mind. He is on a mission to prove to you serving him is better than being in the club. He is on a mission to prove to you serving him is better than selling drugs, than having money, than sleeping with any woman you want. It's better. He's on a mission to show you that. The same way I would be on a mission to prove to my kids the right path because I love them. But we've got to understand, people, God views you as children. You cannot afford to lead people on the wrong path. You can't. You got to take some stands. And sometimes those stands that you got to take, they're hard. There's some things as a believer, you're just going to have to resolve. You can't do anymore. We don't like that kind of talk. Not in America. We like to do, well, I want to do whatever I want. Not in a kingdom, you can't. People, you got to be careful what you sow into others. If you've been hurt by somebody, man, get healed. Don't spread your hurt to other people. You know that little example I've given? I can't tell you how many times that has happened in our church. Somebody is coming after God, and I could see it sometimes. Uh-oh, they're friends with so-and-so. I can almost prophesy prophetically what's going to happen. That person's fire is going to die down. They're going to pick up that person's offense, and they'll never taste their destiny. They'll sit in a lukewarm chair and be a lukewarm believer based on who they're friends with. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to face Christ and have him put that on me. I don't want him to get out the DVD player in heaven and go, let me show you some of the things you did on earth and how many people I derailed because I was hurt from the church. How many people I got to distrust God because I got hurt, because somebody did something to me. I don't want that, because who I'm messing with is God's kids, his babies, his little ones. And if anything, you don't get anything out of this message today, you got to take out of here. You have a personal responsibility to be an example of Jesus Christ. He takes it serious. Highlight that in your Bible. He takes it serious. And what follows a person that does that is misery. We can pray for you every Sunday. It ain't never going away. Until you change, you'll have a miserable life. It'll look good on Instagram. It'll look good on Facebook. But internally, you'll have no peace. You'll have no peace. Guys, we've got to get it right. Amen? And here's the cool thing about it. God wants to help you get it right. He's not having you hear this today so you leave here in fear. He's having you hear this today so you change the outcome. With one decision. God, forgive me. I've led people astray. I've caused people to question your authority, question your church, question who you put in place to lead. God forgives. He forgives. He restores. And he takes away the effects of what that kind of behavior does in your life. Guys, we cannot walk around sloppy, not dealing with the issues of our heart. Jesus takes this serious. Let me give you these three things. What is it that steals our wide-eyed wonder? What is it that causes us to be like that? Number one, bad experiences, hurts and pains. But thank God he's a healer. If you've been hurt, you can be healed. You can be healed. Number two, being self-sufficient. Listen, you better learn right away. You need other people. You need other people. And the people that you need, and we just got through talking about this in the last series, are imperfect people. God wraps treasure in common packages. God wraps incredible things. And so if you just judge everybody, well, I can't learn nothing from him, or he doesn't have what I have, you ain't ever going to get the treasures that's in them. Self-sufficiency is a problem. Revelation chapter 3, read it. One of the reasons the church was lukewarm is because they had everything they needed. They were self-sufficient. Teach yourself, I need people. I need leaders. I need friends. I need others around me. And the third thing, what is it that steals your wide-eyed wonder or makes you sour, is knowledge without sacrifice, without service. 1 Corinthians 8:1 talks about this. It says, knowledge puffs up. When you just learn stuff, read books, come to church, but you don't ever serve nobody, but you don't ever help nobody, but you don't ever lift anybody, the Bible says it causes you to be full of pride. And all those things there will steal that childlike ability on the inside of you to follow God. Why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment as we close? Because I know this is a hard-hitting word. Because there's a few groups of us in here. One, there's the group that today you just learned you've been doing some things that have been harming some of God's children. And you thought you were just warning them or giving them wisdom, but in the eyes of God, you are affecting their childlike faith. So some of you here, you're realizing, man, I didn't mean to do that when I shared my hurt. I didn't mean to do that when I, you know, told them this thing about the church or about my experience with God. And this is why you got to remember this. Never share your complaints with somebody that can't help you. Never share your complaints with somebody that cannot help you.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.
Glory, glory, Sacramento, the Republic marches on.
Indomitable city, indomitable team, indomitable church. Saturday, June 1st, 8 p.m., Papa Murphy's Park at Cal Expo. Get ready. San Antonio FC versus our Sacramento Republic FC. Elevate Life Church. Are you ready?